All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be talking about some important Microsoft 365 updates that you need to know about. So I think we're going to cover four or five topics today. And Kurt, why don't you lead us off with that?
Sure. So a real important change that came into effect yesterday on September 1st was that Microsoft changed the level of detail available in the Microsoft 365 usage analytics reports. And basically the change is that they anonymized the username by default. And this goes back to data privacy. And specifically, when you look at the Message Center update regarding this change, it's for GDPR purposes. The idea being, and I'm going to have trouble pronouncing this, but it's pseudonymization, which is basically the anonymization of the username. And again, it's specifically aimed so that you can't pinpoint usage down to a specific user. So this used to be on by default. It's now off by default. And what you'll see when you go into, for example, the usage reports in the Microsoft 365 Admin Center, instead of a username, you'll see what looks like a GUID. It's just a mangled number, so it means nothing. And this affects a number of things. Not only the usage reports in the M365 Admin Center, but anything that uses these reports from that graph endpoint, which of course the M365 Admin Center used, and Microsoft Teams, for example, the Teams Admin Center, all the Teams user-based reports there, you'll see all the usernames anonymized. So it's quite a big change, and a number of organizations depend on third-party reporting software for usage and analytics, and this will also affect those solutions which rely on that graph endpoint data. What you can do is turn identification back on, so it's now off by default, and that setting to turn it back on is in the M365 Admin Center. And even when it's turned on, there's only certain admin roles that will be able to see it. Basically, any admin role and the report reader role will then be able to see the user identifiable username. But global reader and usage summary report reader roles will still not have access to that user level information. So if you do want to turn it back on, at least there are some guardrails on the admin roles that can see it and can't see it. So yeah, that in a nutshell is the change. And again, yesterday that came into effect. So if you start to see weird things for your usernames, your reports for Microsoft 365, including SharePoint, Exchange, Teams, that's what's going on. All right, over to you, Michael.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. I have a tongue twister of an update. This one was announced at the end of August. So there's a tech community blog post on the from the Azure AD team. So basically, the title is Azure AD Graph Deprecation. Migrate your apps to access the licensing manage APIs for Microsoft Graph. And then there's a Message Center post as well. It says, retirement of Azure AD Graph and license assignment operations and updating to license manage APIs in PowerShell. So what does that actually mean? So the Azure AD Graph APIs, they're being retired, and this is going to come into effect June 30th, 2022. And so what this typically impacts is if you're using the MS Online or the Azure AD PowerShell to assign licenses. So this would be the set-msol user license. Any of the properties for license assignment under the new -msol user, as well as under the Azure AD module, the set Azure AD user license. So these will now know you won't be able to use those properties. So you'll want to make sure you're moving towards the Microsoft Graph PowerShell and leverage the set-mg user license. So kind of the overall strategy with that Azure AD PowerShell module is to start moving towards the graph modules. So make sure you're looking at your scripts and starting to plan to move away from those older modules that we were using to manage AD users, Azure AD users. With that, I'll throw it to Hab to talk about some emergency calling.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. So from an emergency calling perspective, on I think it was August 23rd, there was an announcement in the message center for dynamic E911 for US work from home users. So this particular update is just meant specifically for all the US tenants or users within the US. It's basically helps support the compliance, I guess, for the US FCC requirement for the RABOMS Act. So again, it's not intended for use outside the United States. And what the feature is actually is so that because everybody is working from home and there's going to be, you know, obviously this new hybrid work from home capabilities where, you know, you may not... or I guess the Teams client doesn't know what your home address is, right? So if you are in the office and all of the configuration is set, it'll understand, you know, where you are sitting in the office, that if in the event that you dial 911, it has the capability to find out where you are located for, you know, for the, I guess, the emergency responders to get to you. But when you're at home, it doesn't know that. So there's a feature that you can, new feature that you can turn on in the admin center or via PowerShell, which basically allows external location lookup mode. And what that will do is that in the Teams client, once it launches, it, if it can't identify where your location is, it will allow you to edit your location and search where you're actually located. And then that information will be stored within the Microsoft Teams client. And then if you dial 911 from your Teams client at home, then it will send that information to the PSAP, and the emergency location will be sent as well. So that information is there. So it's definitely a really... great feature that's coming out right now. Obviously, it's for the US. I'd be interested to see if they are going to expand that feature to the rest of the, I guess, the rest of the world, right? That have essentially calling plan capabilities, or even with direct routing as well. So it'll be a definitely interesting feature to see moving forward. With that, I will pass it over to Dino to give us an update on end-to-end encryption.
Yes, thanks, Hab. Last but not least, let's talk about some end-to-end encryption. So also within the Message Center, updated just this past August 24th, Microsoft talked about the rollout of end-to-end encryption. So far, previous to this, Teams didn't have the capability to do end-to-end encryption. And this is the announcement that speaks to that. So this will mean that from, if you're in a one-to-one call or in a meeting where all endpoints are required to be encrypted, you can have the entire contents of that meeting encrypted. So Teams initially will use, will support the option to use end-to-end encryption for ad hoc one-to-one Teams VoIP calls. You know, and to support customer security and compliance requirements, IT will have full control of who can use this end-to-end encryption in the organization. When will this happen? I think they're saying that it's going to be late September. Previously, it was supposed to be this month. So expect the rollout to be completed by early October, perhaps even later. We'll have to keep an eye on that. In terms of how it'll affect your organization for admins, a new policy is going to be added, and there'll be a parameter to enable the one-to-one calls encryption for one-to-one calls. The default value is going to be off, so no impact will happen unless it's enabled, which is good. So the admin can turn that feature on for a select set of users or an entire tenant. And that's an important distinction there. For end users, if it's allowed by the admin, the end user will be able to see the end-to-end encryption option in their settings. And by default, it will be off until it's switched on by the user. There's an option in your privacy settings in Teams. If it's end-to-end encryption calls will only support the basic call features like audio, video, screen sharing, chat, and things like call escalation, transferring, recording of calls, which is a pretty big one. And some of the other call controls won't be available. Obviously, if it's encrypted, and you won't be able to do a recording because it'll have to get decrypted to do that. So it'll be important for admins to understand who this feature should be turned on for and who it shouldn't be turned on for. Maybe it's and also equally important to educate users on the usage of it. So again, in terms of preparation, you know, the initial release will only support the basic calling features. I'm not sure what's going to happen with things like call escalation and recordings and captioning, if those will all be addressed. That remains to be seen. Again, this feature only works if both parties in a one-to-one call have enabled the feature, obviously. And it's only going to be available on the desktop and mobile clients at this point. And with that, I'm going to pass it back to you, Hub.
Yeah, no, thanks, guys. I mean, definitely, you know, a lot of really interesting features that are, I guess, coming out or deprecated in Michael's case, right? In switching, you know, the way you access the Graph API. But yeah, I want to give out this episode just to, you know, keep everybody up to date with some of the key features that we felt from the Microsoft 365 perspective that, you know, our listeners should know about. So with that, thanks everybody for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thank you.
See you. Thanks.